Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
I am surprised at how different this morning that the Lord still wants me to preach. That's very rare. That 9 times out of 10 in this atmosphere, He would have removed that burden from my heart 30 minutes ago. But I want you to know that He just made that preaching burden bigger. And that surprises me. So the Lord's doing unusual stuff on top of unusual stuff. God is so original. And He's so creative. And God is so good.
Amen.
2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's go ahead and stand. Seems to be the custom. Well, I can't tell you how the Lord helped me this morning. I couldn't tell you for 2 or 3 reasons. I couldn't tell you, number one, because it's too personal. I couldn't tell you, number two, because if I wanted to tell you, I couldn't put it in words. And then I can't tell you because it's such eternal stuff, I don't even understand what exactly He's done for us this morning. But I feel, other people may feel like I feel this, the last hour, I can't quite tell you. How rare that is. How, isn't it, Brother Corbett, Sister Corbett? One of the dangers of being in a church where God has chosen to manifest His name is that you will begin to take it for granted. This is what will happen at the end of that 1,000-year reign. How Satan will be able to lead a revolt with Jesus sitting right over there on the throne. People will be, after 1,000 years, natural folk born into this thing will be hardened to the glory of God. They will be glory hardened. They will be government hardened against the government of Christ. They'll even be gospel hardened. Those wounds in His hands. Old Joe Parsons, old man of God, gone for years now. So that's the reason the Lord's going to let that 1,000 years play out to show sinners how wicked they'd be and can't blame it on Satan. You deserve hell whether the devil ever come through the garden or not. Sinners deserve hell. And we are those sinners that deserve hell. God loved us. Jesus died for us. That's amazing. Let me read one verse and I'll let you be seated. And I don't think I'm going to be a long time. I'm just still amazed the Lord's got a preaching burden on me. So He must be wanting to do some extra stuff around here this week. Ooh-wee. I wouldn't miss a lick of it. It's so good to see the Corbetts, Brother James and Sister Nancy, and these children done growed up. And I thought, Brother Corbett, when you're, not to embarrass her, but when your daughter came off the piano and got on that altar, I thought, people don't understand, the people on the platform sometimes are hurting 10 times more because they're filling up the afflictions of the body of Christ. And I'm glad preachers' daughters and singers' daughters, and preachers' sons and daughters' sons, those of us supposed to know all about it and have all the answers, I'm glad God knows we're just a mess too. And if He don't help us, we ain't going to get no help. And I'm glad. I'm glad for a place where the singer can go to the altar. Leave the platform. God's so real, people didn't even know it. Yeah, half of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You let the preacher or the singer or one of their children go to the altar in an average Baptist church. It'd be 300 eyebrows. God's so real around here, nobody even knew it. He's wanting to do some extra stuff around here this week. Well, y'all got to leave me alone now. Getting in that dangerous territory. See, say, look what He's done for you. You better leave us alone with that stuff right there. That right there, dangerous stuff. I mean, she don't know. I was sitting over there looking like I was sitting still, but another little, and that, you might have been fixing windows around here. So. Look what, look what God has done for you. You better leave us alone with that. Hallelujah. That's why heaven's arranged to gather around the throne. It'll take a long time to get that stuff out of our system. Look what God's done for us. That's why eternity ain't got no end. It'll take that long. Time ain't long enough to handle it. We've got to move out into eternity to tell it. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. My happy bubbles are trying to hijack me. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. It's good to be gathered, isn't it? Good to be chosen. Good to have a relationship with the King. Yee! Good to be one of the numbered. I never seen that till I read that. There's a 4-point sermon jumped up on us. Verse 2. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord, for helping us and loving us. Oh, Lord God, thank you. Now help me, Lord, in the next little while, Father, to be your man and be your messenger. Lord God, don't let none of my pride or flesh get in the way. None of my wisdom or my will. All of that so wicked and so wrong. Lord, I need you to help me so that this preaching hour can be exactly what it needs to be. And I love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, there was a national revival. King David brought the ark back that had been gone a long time. And the glory came back to God's people. I want to preach out of this chapter on the ramifications of revival. A great revival explodes in this chapter right before our eyes. David, with a heart for God, a man after God's own heart, has brought back the glory. I preached last year on manufactured glory. It's what the charismatics are doing on the little worship channel. They're trying to make money off what we just had. Only you don't buy this with money. And you don't sell this for money. That's that manufactured glory. And they're trying to crank it out. And they have a spirit. And it is a strong spirit. And it'll move you. It'll touch you. It'll make you act all kind of ways. But it is a seductive spirit. Jude said in the last days, there'd be those having not the spirit, mockers, mimickers, copycats. There is a manufactured glory. And that's what this old goofy contemporary super church is about. Coming at it from a weird angle, acting like a bunch of hippies, just come in your yard sale clothes and, you know, hang out with us, dude, and, you know. But they're trying to tap into the emotions of this generation, because these kids done figured out dead religion ain't where it's at. But Jesus ain't a surfer, dude. And he ain't going to high-five you at the second coming. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Probably shove everybody into hell if you mess with him. That's probably what he'd do. If you asked him in the wrong way, that's probably what he'd do. There is a manufactured glory. But there is the real thing. There is that manifested glory of our Lord. The Holy Spirit of God working out that business, making Christ, bringing Christ right to us, bringing Him in us. There is that manifested glory. And when you enter into that, if you'll stay with God and go a while, there is a manifold glory. You can unfold that thing and there are many levels to God. To the glory of God. And you'll never get them all unfolded. David brings back the glory. And I'm interested in what all plays out as this happens. This chapter will show you reactions and results of revival, the ramifications of revival. And I believe this church this year is in a good measure of Holy Ghost revival. I'd love for it to break out in the community so strong. I know it's in the community. Of course, this is the community. And bikers walking in here and getting washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd like to see this thing get so strong that it turns a community upside down. You already get to live in a church that's upside down. I don't know if you appreciate that, some of you, near as much as you should. Well, you know if you understand. This ain't people hugging. That wasn't just people hugging people they liked a while ago. That was the good shepherd embracing his flock. I don't know if you know how wonderful that is. The ramifications of revival. Got a few D's for you. We're going to make straight D's. That's familiar territory for some of us in here. Down here in Bowden, that's familiar territory. I want to examine this chapter, and I don't think it'll take me but just a few minutes. Number one, I want to ask you why some people delay revival. How come it took David coming around for somebody to finally get interested in the ark? Don't turn there, but make a note. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 3. says that the children of Israel inquired not at all after the ark in the days of Saul. David was interested in getting God on the scene. But the generation that chose Saul, they had told God, we want a king like all the neighbors that got kings, we want us a king. We're not happy just having you, God. We want a king to rule over us. And in the days of the generation that set up idols and served man and worshiped flesh, nobody inquired after this ark, after God's presence and His glory. So I want to ask you why they acted like that. Why some people would delay. Well, why are some of you delaying this morning? You're sitting right here. The very Lord Jesus walking up and down these aisles, embracing the flock and inviting the reprobate. You can't sit under this sweet presence and not be drawn by the Holy Ghost. And whenever Jesus walks in the room, His drawing power is there, because when He's there, you're drawn to Him. And why are some of you holding on to your souls? You gotta have what the world has. Think you can't live without it? You wanna have everything that your old wicked neighbor has. You wanna have your gods and your idols and your sins? God is not enough for you. They said, God's not enough for us. We want a king. Well, they brought Saul in, and you see what a mess he became. And they probably ruined him. He used to be little in his own eyes before they set him up. You better watch out, people setting you up. Not only should you worship man, you better be careful when anybody starts worshiping you. There's some forefathers in this county loves to run the show. If they'd get right, there'd be 35 people get right. But their sons and their sons' sons ain't going to get saved because Grandpa over there, he's mad at the preacher. He knows more than any man of God ever come through this county. Be careful when you're big in your eyes all of a sudden. Why some people delay. And I know that I cannot, as a man, persuade you to come to Christ. If it weren't like that, we could talk everybody into it. It's between you and the Lord. But I'll tell you one thing, Jesus is a lot better than Saul. Why some people delay. You be careful, you delay yourself right over into a lake of fire that's made for the devil. Forefathers need to be careful about hanging on to their gods and their kings. All of your youngins will be sent right off to hell while you're holding on to your idols. If the forefathers would get on the altar, them generations would come right behind them. Why some people delay? Some of you delaying getting right with God this morning? Number two. I want to examine why some people desire. Here comes David. David's been made king. And the first order of business he gets is to go bring God back. Set things in order. Liberty Baptist Church. You ought to thank God for a preacher who wants this thing to be right. You've got to, and I'd say this is sitting here, not, he knows this is not flattery. You got a preacher that's willing to pay the price to bring back an altar, bring back an ark, and set up a church. David desired it. You can say what you want to. God's arranged the church to be a flock, and He's arranged a shepherd over it. I am aware that many a lesser man has abused pastoral authority. And there's been many a fella jump in the pulpit screaming pastoral authority and act like an idiot. We've all seen that. Two wrongs don't make a right. That doesn't mean then that I should never sit under my pastor in my church. God has arranged for the shepherd to have a flock, and the flock to have a shepherd. It's His divine order. I don't know how to say this to you, and I'm going to say it, and half of you ain't going to get it. God ain't building great ministries. Any time a church puts their thumbs in their spenders, say, "We are a great church." They have no idea what they're talking about. God builds great men. Men who know they're not great. John the Baptist is who say, "Boys, he's over there. Don't worry about following me. He's over there." God uses men. You better plug into that or God will rip your church apart. Now, I don't believe you're there, but this church will face it one day. We're a great church. The book of Acts was not about First Baptist of Jerusalem and First Baptist of Antioch. It was about Peter and Paul. God uses a man. And that man's a blessing to His body. God's going to build His church. And God's going to keep His flock. He'll use a man. He can use one man's desire. David had a heart! You want to know how you're going to get out of the mess of the Laodicean church age? One man. Read your Bible. I ain't making this stuff up. Laodicean church age to eat up with lukewarmness makes God sick. Jesus said, "I'm standing at the door knocking even now." What mercy? Well, what's the key? If any man, I'm going to make a promise to every young preacher and every young Christian in here, you can have all of God you want. You can have Him for supper, a supper that never ends. If you'll just hear that voice knocking and open that door. And a church that'll open the door can have the Lord. David desired it. I'll tell you why he desired it. He had tasted the Lord out there on the side of them hills. And he wanted God. Number three is verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Uh-oh. We're in trouble. Here in a little while, this thing's going to train wreck. They put it on a new cart. How many Bible readers do I have? How many of y'all know we're in trouble? Put it on a new cart. The ark was to be carried by the command of God on the shoulders of men. The Levites was to put it on their shoulder. I hate to tell y'all this. But we live in an hour with our technology where you can hire somebody to carry anything. Fix anything. Son, the glory of God and the presence of God is to be borne upon our own burdens. The Philistines was the ones that put it on a cart and carried it around. We don't have church like the heathen think we're supposed to. We got to do it God's way. You got to get under the burden of it and carry it. My D here is design. Why some people think they got a new design for revival. Why some people think they have a design for revival. They got a new cart. They're going to come in here, Brother Bowman. You know that. You've been here over a decade and tell you just exactly how to tweak this thing. Tell you a new thing. What? How about the phone call? What do y'all do for the kids over there? How about get them out of hell? Is that good enough for you? You take them to Chuck E. Cheese, we'll get them out of hell. You come to Six Flags, it's right down I-20. We'll get them out of hell. You want to go see Mickey? Yeah, it's your family. We ain't down here to have volleyball and aerobics and softball. Okay, you carry the old people everywhere you want to. We ain't here to have fun. We're not here to have a social circle. We are here to have church. That new cart. And some of the members are going to want to tell the pastor how things should work. I'm going to tell you how it's going to work. It's going to be real simple. It's going to be real scriptural. And that's the only way it's going to work. And it'll also be real sovereign. It will not make sense to you. Brother Corbin, I bumped into something the other day. I'm afraid if I come down, this sermon will become an hour and a half. This is a 30-minute sermon. This is 40. But if I get down there, y'all are just in trouble. You see me trying to control myself? Jonah conducted the first revival that ever took place outside of the Jewish economy. He was the first fellow that ever went to the Gentiles and had a revival. Citywide crusade. And I hate to tell all my brethren this, but Jonah's revival doesn't make any sense with all of our revival sermons. That revival came from a people that didn't deserve it. Wasn't nobody over there praying? It came from a preacher that didn't want it. He was mad when it happened. Jonah, that's the first revival in your Bible where the Lord broke out of the Jewish economy and a revival hit a people. A whole city of Nineveh. And the preacher didn't want it, and the people didn't even suspect it. Y'all like this part? A real short sermon, 8-word sermon. It come through an 8-word sermon. I'll leave one up there. This means there's still a little hope for you. I'll come down and go right back. You can't pigeonhole God. You can't figure Him out. You can't hem Him up. You can't predict Him. That first revival blows away all of our... And what somebody said was second... If my people... Which, as God talking to Solomon for Israel. Now, if the Lord breathes that verse in your heart, live in it all day long. But the first revival of the Gentiles coming, it didn't make no sense. There wasn't no preaching to speak of. There wasn't no praying. There wasn't nobody wanting it. But old Jonah runs through there, bleached white, seaweed hanging off his ears. Come right up out of hell. When the old preachers I came up under said, you read Jonah 1 and the Bible said, go cry against it. You read Jonah 3 and it came the second time and said, preach unto it. He said, that's the law and that's grace. The law will cry against. The gospel will preach unto. Wonder what happened between law and grace. There was a death, burial, and a resurrection. Why some people try to design revival. One of the things you better never get away from here is appreciating just letting Him run loose. He crazy enough, He ain't going to ask your permission. But you better be mindful enough to know that this thing ain't going to work with nobody's little playbook. And we don't want that manufactured glory. We want that manifested glory. Ain't no need to put a design on it. God, save anybody who wants to. God can move wherever He wants to. God can set up camp anywhere He wants to. Design. Why some people try to design it. They want to bring a new cart. Then number four. Here come that new cart rumbling down through there and that wasn't the right way and it didn't work. Verse 6. When they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen shook it. Anytime you do something that ain't God's way, it's going to get shook up. And Uzzah reached out his hand, and he was one of the sons there. He grew up with that ark. He's one of the sons at the household where that ark had been put 30-something years, or somebody even said 70-something years earlier. He was familiar with it. He reached up and put his hand on that thing. Brother Ark was on the move, and it killed him. I want to talk to you about why some people die in revival. I don't know how to say this, Brother Bowman, without just saying it. If Jesus passes through, it'll put part of you in heaven and most of you in hell. Heathen are a lot safer if God stays on the other side of the planet somewhere. Heathen live a long time if they don't ever come into contact with God. But if Jesus moves through, honey, what you do with Him determines your eternal destiny. Jesus would pass through, as we read the Gospels, He would pass through a town, pass through a city. And honey, how you acted that day determined the rest of your life and the rest of your eternity. The blind man knew he had one shot. And they couldn't shut him up. You think I'm going to let him get by? He's in town today. He's in my town today. I'm a blind man. I heard he's healing blind men. I ain't going to let him get by without getting a hold of him. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, you got to hush. He said, you got to get out of my way. You ain't the one sitting over here blind. And honey, how you treat Jesus. Matthew 27, he passed through that chapter on the way to Calvary. Pilate sold him out. Judas kissed him, betrayed him, sold him out. Both those men committed suicide. Judas committed suicide within 24 hours. Pilate committed suicide 10 years later. The history books confirm. 10 years later, they said he went crazy slowly from that day forward until he hung himself. When Jesus passes by, how you act and react is going to have a lot to do with your eternal destiny. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing more wonderful than for the Lord to move in. There ain't nothing more scary than for the Lord to move in. The Lord's here. My old daddy, old-fashioned, got a praying mama and a preaching daddy. Come from sharecroppers and cotton farmers. My old daddy in that country wisdom said the altar's the most dangerous place in the world. In the presence of God, you go down here to McDonald's and cut up, you'll probably be all right. Go on down there to Atlanta and cut up. Go to Six Flags and cut up. Honey, you cut up here in the last hour and a half, you liable to damn your soul to a devil's hell. And when God's on the move, honey, it's going to kill some people. When God's on the... Honey, it wasn't until the Holy Ghost was poured out, Ananias and Sapphira, it was their death knell. The toll rung, the bell rung. Coming there to give a big portion of their money. And Simon Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. You've kept back. I wonder how many folks are keeping back this morning. I don't care what you're putting forth. What are you keeping back? And it amazed me, Brother Bowman, the Scripture said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've lied to the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. When you come in here to this body, you ain't interacting with this song leader or this pastor or this evangelist or this singer or these deacons or these brethren. You ain't messing with us. You ain't rejecting us. You're not receiving us. This ain't got nothing to do with us. The Lord's here and He's calling you. And you're dealing with the Holy Ghost when you deal with this body. I know some pastors need to be reminded of that. And I know some deacons need to be reminded of that. I know some old gossiping girls that need to be reminded of that. I know some gossiping fellers need to be reminded of that. You know men love to gossip more than women. That's really the truth. It's dangerous. Why some people die. Number something or another. Here's another D. Come down to verse 9. Verse 7. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Before I leave that little business, I could tell you a dozen stories. They'd all be true. The old man of God down there in Jacksonville, Florida, came into that church in the early 40s. One of the great preachers from in this nation. And a young man, young pastor. He spent 40 years and saw a great work for God in Jacksonville. When he first started there, he went out and told them on the front porch. He said, there's five or six of them standing around smoking cigarettes on the front porch of the church. He went out there and told them, he said, gentlemen, we're trying to win sinners and we're trying to teach our children. And boys, the front porch is just not a place to be smoking cigarettes. And that's what he said to them. Came back to church that night and one of the old deacons standing there waiting on him. And when the pastor walked up, that young pastor blew that smoke in his face. That preacher said, sir, you know, we've talked about this and we're trying to win sinners and we're trying to teach our children. And this is the house of God. Now, we've talked about it and I'm going to ask you not to smoke on the front porch right here. The old man said, I was smoking on this front porch when you got here, you little whippersnapper. And I'll be smoking here when you leave. I heard that old man of God tell this story, and he said, I'm going to pray for you. And said he went around behind the church and prayed and asked God to deal with that man. He went in and preached. That fella traveled in his business. And that night, 2:00 in the morning, phone rang, and it was that man's wife screaming, crying, Pastor, Pastor, come. He left out for a business trip tonight and at the motel. Said he fell asleep smoking a cigarette and said the only thing burned was him and the mattress. Said, but he's burned up. He said, I don't believe that. I could tell you 20 more stories. I got news for you. When God's passing through, you better put your hand in your pocket and stand to attention and let God be God. If the thing looks like it's fixing to fall over, let it fall. It ain't your business to put your hand on it. There ain't a preacher alive I need to put my hand on. There ain't a church in America I need to put my hands on. There ain't a situation to where that needs my hands on it. We need the hand of God. I need God to put His hand on my church. God to put His hand on my life. I need God to put His hand on my teenagers, on my children. I need God! I got a young pastor friend in South Carolina. a very unusual spirit of anointing. Boy, I got to say, I think of you every once in a while. He's younger than you, and they're more in their beginnings than y'all, but boy got saved out of racing and drinking. He got saved out of jail and hit the pulpit shouting, and one of his friends right after that got killed, and old Robbie preached at the funeral, and 14 of his buddies got saved and they started a church. You know, they got all them old tattoos and all them old marks, you know, and they just squall and shout and have a 3-hour church. I about said something else. They had a 3-hour church. And just squall and talk about where the Lord found them. And some more sinners come around and find that little sugar pan and jump in the middle of it. And one of them old boys, one of them old heathen down there, young woman got saved and her kids. And the old boy is demon possessed. He's looking for the preacher, called him up and coming to whip you. Got my wife and babies down there in that church. I'm coming to whoop you. I'm coming to whoop you. Brother Robbie told him it wouldn't have been the first time. That was not unfamiliar territory. Come on down. And he said, I'm going to meet you with my Bible and I'm going to try to hug you when you get here. But just come on. And said, before the boy could get there, said he's walking down the side of the road, angry, crazy. And said some truck run by and got too close, and he was unfriendly in his gestures toward that truck. Said the brake lights come on, the truck backed up, said an old boy got out and beat the snot out of that fella. Fella was on his way to whip the preacher and got the devil beat out of him, and they said the old boy that whooped him pulled out his wallet, took a business card out, laid it on his chest and said, if you want any more, that's my name and my address right there. So you just come on and find me. So that's where I live. That's how you can contact me. You just come see me. He said, if you want to do any more fighting, you come see me. You reckon the Holy Ghost ain't got a sense of humor? And it also ain't scared to whoop somebody. Why, some people die. It's dangerous when God's moving. Oh, look at this. Why some people doubt. This thing discouraged David. The whole show was stopped. If you ever had the whole thing shut down, you thought you were doing something great for God and God was going to be pleased and it all shut down. I've got that t-shirt. And it usually shuts down because we ain't doing things right. That's what happened to David. That's what happened to me. That's what happens to us. Whole thing shut down! You ain't quite right. Appreciate what you're doing, but now we ain't going to do it the way the Philistines do it. We're going to do this God's way. This thing ain't going to work on this cart with these cows. We need some sanctified Levites to get under the burden. The Bible says in verse 8, and David was displeased. And the Bible says in verse 9, and David was afraid. You ever think you'd be displeased and afraid right in the middle of the will of God? Right in the middle of the work of God? Is not David the anointed king? Is he not crowned king? Is he not on the throne? Do you know you can be the right person and doing the right thing, just doing it the wrong way? And some people immediately think all is lost. Oh no, I'm the wrong person. I'm in the wrong place. Well, don't quit what you're doing and don't quit what you're being. Just get it right. It's what David did. He didn't quit being king. He didn't give up on the ark. He said in verse 9, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? How? You're going to run into some dead ends. You're going to run into some hows. To this brother that just got saved, your name Toby. Tony. Toby. Brother Toby, you and all these others that just got saved around here. You're going to have some perplexing days ahead of you. There's going to be problems. There's going to be dead ends. There's going to be train wrecks. But all that is God stopping you because you're not doing something quite right. It don't mean you ain't right. It means what you're doing ain't quite right. How you doing it? A lot of people quit and bail out and they walk away from the ark. And I ain't never going to try to build another church. I ain't never going to teach another Sunday school class. I ain't never going to sing in the choir again. Well, you big overgrown baby, you little coward, you quitter, you whiner. You must come from the Pac-Man generation, not the World War II generation. You little bunch of sissies, overgrown babies. It didn't work out. I ain't going to read my Bible and pray no more. God ain't working, but everything just shut down. Maybe He wants you to grow in the Lord a little. Advance in maturity. Deepen in knowledge. Why some people get discouraged in the midst of revival? Because God wants to correct us. Isn't it amazing? David was trying to correct a national problem, but God had to correct a technical problem. A spiritual problem. He had to fix David before David could fix Israel. He had to fix Jonah before Nineveh could get right. And it took Jonah longer to repent than it took the king of Nineveh. Did you know it usually takes God longer to get the church right than it does a bunch of heathen? They're out there hanging over hell, wondering if it's worth to live another day. Would somebody please come by and tell me something other than what Dr. Phil or the politics or the world, the humanists did? Somebody help me out of this hellhole! If the church would get right, we could help some people! And then I love this. I'm nearly to the end now. Old David got his heart right and he got this business right and he got in the scriptures. And he went down there and started carrying that thing out. Well, before I show you that, I got to show you something in verse 11. And the ark of the, when they parked that thing, verse 11 said, the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Can I stop and say this? Y'all give me 90 seconds to preach this little thought. Why some people get dividends. Obed-Edom had no clue that God was going to sit down in his backyard. But God did, and everything he had just turned to gold. Can I tell you something, brethren? Some of us got in not because we were anybody, just because the Lord, when He was moving by, He sat down in our backyard and just parked it right there where we were.
Somebody else was hunting God, but God sat in my backyard.
My mama, oh, what a prayer warrior, what a preacher's wife, what a saint. Let me tell you how salvation came to our family through mama's side. My mama's mama was a little girl, 12-year-old, in the old one-house schoolhouse, the one-room schoolhouse up in North Georgia. And they were having one of them old-timey fall revivals up in the hills. Extended meetings. What's the other word for it they use? Retracted meetings. Protracted meetings. And they said, my grandma was 12 years old. Said that carried the children over to school. They carried the school children to the revival every night. But she didn't get to go. She's in a family of atheists. On my mama's side, there were doctors and artists. The first governor, the founder and governor of the state of Tennessee was a head. And he's a direct grandfather of ours. And all those men were atheists. And that school teacher told my grandma after class, in the middle of that week, said, Frieda, won't you stay behind after class? I want to talk to you. Said all the little children left when school was over and Frieda come down. And that school teacher said, Frieda, so you're the only child in my class that can't go to that church meeting. And she said, as far as I know, you're the only child that hadn't got saved. And I want to tell you about Jesus. Wasn't nobody in my family over there looking for God. But God was in the backyard. Somebody else was looking for Him. And said, my grandma bowed down on that old little board floor and got saved with that school teacher. Somebody forgot to tell the school system and the government that's how we started out. And said, my grandma, I'm talking about dividends now, says she went home and got up on Sunday morning and put on a little dress. And that teacher would give her a little Bible. And said she went out and stood on the front porch. And said her old mean daddy come out there. And said, Frieda, what are you doing? She said, I got saved last week at school because of that revival. And I want to go to that church this morning. And they said he took his leather belt and beat the little dress off of her back. Left her in the dust laying there. Blood. He was always that mean. See, when he got done, everybody else was scared of him. So when he got done and left, he said, I don't want to hear none of this Jesus stuff in this house no more. And he went out there and picked up my little grandma. Her mama picked her up, carried her back in the house, washed her. They said my grandma that week sewed that little dress back together. And next Sunday morning, she put it on. And she went on the front porch. And she stood there. And he come out and said, Frieda, what are you doing out here? She said, I got saved. And I want to go to that church. And he said he beat the dress off her back again. And left her bleeding, laying in that front yard. Said her mama took her up again. Third Sunday, she put her little cotton dress back on. Took her Bible. Stood on the front porch. He come out there. What are you doing? She said, I got saved and I want to go to that church. He said, do whatever you want to do. Turn around and walk back in. And she walked down to that church house. And her children. And her children's children. Full time. All of us. Full time. We've all been living in church ever since. I didn't shed that blood. My grandma did. Our family wasn't looking for God. Somebody else was. But God was in the neighborhood. And we saw Him. And He let us in. We got in. Dividends. Some of you got in on dividends this morning. You weren't looking for God. Somebody else was hunting Him and He just happened to stay in your little place for a while. Long enough for you to get blessed. Next thing happened was old David danced. Look in your Bible. Them verses said he come back with gladness. Said he come back with shouting. Said he come back with dancing. Can I tell you, if revival breaks out, some people's going to dance. Ramifications of revival? Some people dance. We saw some of that this morning. I heard you going crazy like a rooster just spinning in circles. You kind of favor a rooster a little bit there, brother. You sounded like one. You kind of favor one. I liked it. Yeah, God made us all different. Everybody you know has ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, got their own laugh, got their own countenance, got their own shout, got their own whimper. And it don't matter what they got, as soon as you see it on them, it just blesses a fire out of you. Why some people dance. Now this would mess up some of this dignified crowd. I guarantee you from 10 to 11, 15 would have messed up the dignified crowd. If she'd have said one more time, "Look what God's done for you!" I just, wow! I studied this thing, an old preacher, on why David danced. I mean, danced. Right out of his clothes. They say that means he danced out of his kingly robe. Well, okay. Maybe, maybe not. He may have just danced right out of his clothes. I ain't sure. Probably did. Danced right out of them kingly robes. And she said, "You look like one of the servants down there." What would make somebody cut up and carry on like that? I studied that thing, meditating on it, why David danced. Lord, let me be in the glory in my lifetime. He's let me rejoice a few times. But I thought about my little boy, Preston, when he was 2 and a half. I had to fly out west and preach. And when I flew back, Mama had that thing arranged. I'd never been away from my little boy before. Come off that airplane and they were waiting up there where people could wait. You know, people that hold up signs and stuff. And for some reason it was a big flight. They had a big old rope. And the way that thing was, it was just perfect. A big old walkway and it went around a little bit and then you could come out and 50 yards down there you could see the people waiting on you. So I never had been away from my little boy before. I knocked 3 old women down and a real old frail man kept trying to get in front of me. I finally just smacked him up against the wall. "Away with thee, O thou." I was pulling that little thing, using it where I needed to. I busted out in front of that crowd, Brother Ken. I was the first one around that curve. And my little feller, I didn't know you could love him like that until you had your own. That little feller saw me and hollered. And before Mama knew it, he'd come out of her arms and under that little guy, that rope, and was a running to me down that thing. And he was jumping and hollering and leaping. "Daddy, Daddy." I was squalling and crying. I seen somebody coming up on my left rear. I just spun and karate kicked them and flattened them out. And wasn't going to let nobody. And I come on. And my little boy jumped up in my arms. And in my arms, he danced and hollered for another hour. Couldn't wait to see Daddy. And that's why David danced. His father was coming home. And they hadn't seen him in years. And he was overjoyed. I got news for you. This thing breaks out, there's going to be some dancing going on. There'll be some mamas dancing. There'll be some young wives dancing. There'll be some prayer warriors dancing. That chapter ends with Michael despising. She was out of the house of Saul, the Bible said, and the wife of David. She stood up in the window. You watch out for people who ain't going to get in this. They're going to watch it from a distance. They're going to find a perch. You watch out for people that find a perch and just spectate over this. Girls, if he ain't on the altar, don't mess with him. Don't get one perched up. Looking on, looking down. Get you one laid down here in the middle of this mucus piled up bunch down here. So. Why some people despise. I'm going to say this, Brother Bowman. I'm amazed the Lord still wanted me to preach this morning. He's doing something. You get saved and join this family, There are going to be a lot of old family and old friends treat you like dirt. People out of the wrong family, out of the house of Saul, not the house of David, they don't get excited about what happens for the kingdom of David. Michael despised him. She met him at the door that night and let him have it. I'm going to tell you something. David had to live with her because he went and got God. And some people got to live with some hard things. You can have God, but you might also have a Michael. Paul had a thorn in his side. Can I get a witness? And Michael's son, she'd been watching Oprah and Rosie, and she was getting ready to vote for Hillary, and she was a fan of Pelosi, and she works out to Jane Fonda. I mean, she was a real Jezebel. That was fun. I want to say all that again one more time. That was... She was a Rosie, Hillary, Oprah, Pelosi, Hillary voting things, what she was. And she met David at the door. It's a good thing God hadn't invented double gauges at that point, son. Oh, David could have fixed that thing. And that dispensation fixed things. You got to live with them in this one. Some people are going to despise you. Jesus' mama and brothers came to see him one day. He's having revival in a house. They tried to shut him down and bring him out in the yard and give him a lecture. You go read it in Matthew 11, Matthew 12, Matthew 13. They said, "Psst, Jesus." The house was packed. "Your mama's outside. Your brother's outside. I need to talk to you." Jesus said, "Who is my mother and my brethren?" These in here that are hearing the word of God. This is my mother. This is my brethren. Ooh. He didn't have fun at his family reunion. He showed up at his family reunion and they said, "Hey, he ain't nothing but the carpenter's son. And his mother and brothers and sisters, they're with us." I just want you to know the ramifications of revival. Them old friends and old family that don't know the Lord, they're going to despise you. Brother Toby and all you others that just got saved, ain't everybody going to embrace you and shout. There's some of them going to cuss you, going to bring them six packs back around. They're going to find you in a moment of weakness and jump all over you and put that... You look at them and tell them, "You ain't my mama. And you ain't my brother. My mama and my brothers are right down there in the house of God doing the will of God." You may have said about your own mama. Son, he did. I told all over America how you was the only fella that was against Mother's Day. I was here one Mother's Day and he said, "There ain't going to be no flowers for the biggest mama, the meanest mama, the stupidest mama, the mama with 20 kids, mama with 7 wards. We ain't giving out no mama flowers. Mama didn't die for me. Jesus died for me." I said, "I have found somebody that's absolutely as crazy as you need to get." I thought I was the only other fellow in America that preached against Mama's Day. And I got a good mama. Thank God I got a mama that ain't got to say, "Who is my mother?" But a lot of folk ain't got a godly mama. And so a lot of folk ain't got a godly wife. And a lot of folk ain't got a godly husband. I know I'm going a little long, but this is going to help somebody. Not everybody's going to walk out of here and go eat a Sunday dinner and think about the Lord all day and get ready for camp meeting tonight. Some people's walking back into a hell hole. And there's Michaels all around. "Well, hey, keep that right there. You keep that. Well, I hope you got all your business done that church this morning. You don't look no different to me." You're going to live with Michaels if you're going to have revival. But I got news for you. David was ready for He said, "Hey, honey bunchkins, God chose me before He chose your daddy. Get over it." And you ain't seen nothing yet. I ain't even started the dance. Why some people despise. There's a price to pay in this. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask our preacher to come. I'm going to ask the Corbetts to come. Or whatever the preacher says.